Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today. This is the Indiana Bible College podcast. On our last episode, we listened in on an interview between two giants of global missions, Reverend Robert K. Rodenbusch and Reverend Roger Buckland. If you missed that one, I encourage you to go back and check it out, because today we're going to hear the heartbeat of Brother Buckland featured in that interview. Brother Buckland preaches the final chapel of our 2019 Missions Conference, a message entitled, Your Hand in the Mission.
God bless you, and we thank you so very much. It is my happy privilege to bring to this pulpit a man that I admire very much. I appreciate Brother and Sister Buckland immensely. They are tremendous people. They love the Lord. They have served in missions overseas almost 35 years. And as you already know, he is the regional director for the Pacific region. Thousands of islands in the Pacific region. He supervises the missionaries and the work in 17 nations. Let's give Brother Buckland a welcome right now. As he comes to this pulpit.
Thank you, Brother Rodenbusch. And happy birthday, Brother Mooney. Oh, what a joy to be here with you on your birthday. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I love the theme of this missions conference, A Greater Glimpse. You couldn't have chosen a better theme. I want to have a greater glimpse. How many want a greater glimpse? How many? I heard a few voices, no hands. Okay, so we're going to give you a little glimpse into the Pacific. If you got that little movie ready, we'll show that to you. Amen.
Dance. Wherever I dance.
You can be in that picture. My voice, my hands, my dance, my praise, you can do that in the Pacific region. Amen. 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 Or wherever God places you. It doesn't have to be in an overseas situation, but God is looking for you. Amen. I'm going to be reading from the book of John, chapter number 9, and I'm going to read just a couple of verses and speak to you for just a few minutes this morning. Thank you for allowing us to be here. As both of my sons came to IBC, and they are so very high on this school, and I am very high on this school as I grew up in this city, and I'm very high on your pastor, and I'm very high on the missions department with Brother Rodenbusch and Brother Turner. Amen. Thank you very much. And I'm blessed to be here. Sister Buckland, you want to stand and wave your hand so they know who you are? Amen. I wished I had time for her to say something this morning, but I better get into this. And as Jesus passed by, begin at the first verse, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. And I'm going to jump down to verse number 7. And he said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I want to talk to us for just a few minutes this morning. And I want to say how much of a joy it is to share this time with Brother Poitras. Man, I appreciate Brother. Boy, didn't he do a great job here in chapel? Oh, man. I told Brother Poitras this morning that my wife and I were talking that he always seems to have the right word for the right time. I said, there's only two men that I've really met that it seems like every time they go to the pulpit to say something, That's what comes out of their mouth, the right thing for the right time. One was Brother Bernard, and one is Brother Poitras. And I mean that. I appreciate them very much. But I want to talk about this man that was born blind. And if you'll allow me, I'm not going to do disregard to the scripture, but I do want to add a word to it. I know it says not to add to or take away, but just for clarity, I'm not trying to change the scripture. The man's blindness was not caused by the birth. Okay. It says here, the passed by saw man which was blind from his birth. That does not mean he was blind because of the birth process. It just means he'd been blind ever since he'd been born. Okay. And then the disciples, the question that they asked, they said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I'm going to take that last statement from these disciples and add the word next to the last word. I'm going to add the word again. Okay, and so it would read something like this. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born again blind? Boy, it's quiet. We know in the natural that people are born blind. We know that. But I want to posit to you today that in my experience, it's possible that people have been born again blind. Hello. I didn't say deaf. I said they were born again blind. And so Jesus, he deals with the situation. Before I go any further, I got to tell you this story about the Philippines when I was there many years ago. It was during our first term that we were there. So we're talking last decade, you know, or I mean last century, actually. We were there, and back in the early 80s, or late 80s, something like mid-80s, we were there, and they had me, even though I was a young man, to serve on the executive board of the Philippines. Now, we lived in Mindanao Island, which was about 700 miles away from Manila and a lot of islands in between. And because our children were young and in school, my wife was not able to always attend those meetings because there are seasons of life, right? Okay, so I take what's called the Bulilet flight. Now, the Bulilet flight in the Philippines is a less expensive flight. And since we were on a missionary budget, I tried to find the cheap one. So we had to go to the airport about 3 or 4 in the morning. And they took that early morning flight, and it would be a couple hour flight up to Manila. So you have to understand the Philippines, it's hot. You know that, okay? It's hot in the Philippines. And so I fly up there, and I get there about 6 in the morning to the Philippines, and I go to the headquarters building to wait for the beginning of the board meeting. That's probably one of the most appropriate name meetings in the world, a board meeting. Especially when they would do it in the dialect that I didn't understand because they spoke Tagalog up there and I had learned Cebuano. But anyway, I'd gone there and we were sitting in the board meeting and it was so hot and I was so tired from that early morning flight. And we went through the board meeting and it was the conference, okay? It was a general conference. And at that time, the church was not as large as it is today, and thank God for what's happened. But at that time, we couldn't afford to rent a place to have the conference for the whole week. We only got it for the weekend. But during the week, we had conference at our Bible school compound. And, of course, there was no outside lights and things like that. So what we did, we had a makeshift stage they built outside, and then they'd take the cars and pull them up and turn the lights on and had, you know, just like these lights are shining in my eyes, we'd have car lights shining in the preacher's eyes, and they would be up on this makeshift platform and had all these rental chairs out on the grounds. Great, great view, okay? So Brother Becton was preaching that conference, and so I felt like even though I was too tired, I should go. You know, general secretary, I probably should be there. And it was interesting. We had 7 missionaries there at the time. Sister Galleon was there, and Sister Marshall were there. And I don't know if they remember all this, especially the way I remember it, but I remember being very tired. And Anyhow, I'm sitting in the service. Brother Becton does masterful preaching, as he always does. It came time for the altar call, and I was ready to just slip out. Well, you look like I'm not normal. But I was the missionary, and I felt like I should go pray with people in the altar. So I go up and start praying. And wouldn't you know it, I go up and I start praying with this lady over here, And I'm half-heartedly doing it. Is it okay to be honest? Okay. Missionaries are real people, too. So I'm kind of praying. And then all of a sudden, this lady goes, "The moon." And I'm thinking, why me? I'm tired, and I get this one. But the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. And I'm a little discouraged. And so I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's the moon." I said, "Let's just pray." So I got her back down to praying, and it's going pretty good. And she stopped. "Stars." And I said, "Yes, it's stars." And if it hadn't been for the officials on the platform, I probably would have found somebody else to pray with. And so finally I got her back down. I said, "Yeah, that's stars. Let's pray some more." So I got her back down praying. Another lady came over to me. She said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "I haven't the slightest idea. I'm not from this island, and I don't know." She said, "Well, when she came up here, she was blind." "Oh, the moon." "Stars, yeah." You never know what God's going to do with your life. You never know what God's going to do with your life. Amen. And so when we talk about this incident in the book of John, this man was born blind. He couldn't see. Amen. The things that you enjoy, those beautiful ties and scarves, he would only have to do it by feel because he couldn't see. We're talking about a greater glimpse today. We're talking about a missions emphasis. We need a greater glimpse. This man needed a better glimpse. He needed any kind of a glimpse. And so Jesus, you can read the story. I won't go through the whole thing just for the sake of this time that we need this morning, because I believe that God is going to use you. Not only is God going to use you, God is using you. I remember when my son was a student here, when they had him speak towards the end, everybody at his job where he worked, they closed the place down and everybody came to that service. If I'm not mistaken, that's what they told me. He worked at a bank, and the bank manager took so much credit in what my son was doing there, and that he was a student. When he had his time to speak at the service, they closed the bank down and had all the employees come. You can do something now. I said, you can do something now. We don't come here just to wait and see what God's going to do. I was reading this morning in some of my studies, and it said, it's a whole lot easier to steer a moving car than to steer one that's sitting still. Hallelujah. So I'm telling us today, let's start moving. Let's start doing something, and then God can steer us as we're doing something. Amen. So this man, the scripture where Jesus spit in the ground and made a mud ball stuck in his eye and says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Now, I thought that was interesting because in the brackets of what it said, in the brackets which gave the interpretation of the word Siloam. Do you remember what that was? We just read it. Sent. Okay, now what's the definition of the word sent? Here we are at school. The definition of sent, it's the past tense of the word send or to send. This is a missions emphasis. To send or be sent. Can I just say it, what I really want to say? This man did not get vision until he put his hands into the sending. I'm talking about being born again blind. Born again blind. And people that are born again in the church that never get involved in the mission are always going to have trouble in their walk. Because a blind man always has to have help. But if you can get involved in the sending or to be sent, I'm telling you, vision comes into your eyes. And you will be able to walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish I could just tell you how I feel about this. I think you're getting it. Amen. Just a little thought. I can go into a whole lot of things about what I pastored, and I had some people that came into the church. Oh, man, they were wonderful people, but they had no vision. A hangnail would keep them out of church. No vision. Other people come in the church, they get involved, they start doing things, they start giving, and they start getting involved in the mission, and they have no problem walking with God. The difference, what Jesus said, if you want vision in your life, you go to Siloam and you put your hands down in that water, you get involved in the sent and the sending, and then you will have vision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jaromir came to our church in the city of Prague, and we didn't have very many people there. I mean, it was kind of a tough nut to crack when we went to Prague in the Czech Republic. And I'll never forget, we had a man in our church, a man that came to our church. He never did get in. His name was Pavel, but he had a good heart, I think. But what he did, he invited a young man at work. And this young man at work was a college student. He had hair down the middle of his back, and he wanted to learn English. And so in our services, we were using Czech and English. English translated into Czech. And so Pavel told Jaromir, he said, you know, Jaromir, he said, I've been going to this church, and they do English and Czech together. And he said, if you're wanting to brush up on English and learn English, come, and you can do that. So Jaromir came, and he sat on the back row, hair down the middle of his back, and he sat on the back row over there, and he was there. And his third Sunday, he came up to the altar right down in the front, and he kneeled down in front of the podium. And you have to understand, Czechs, they're very quiet and reserved, like me. Not. Anyhow. Very, very reserved. You were there at that chapel, just a little spot. And he came. We had it was an old chapel and these big old rocks on the floor. And so he knelt there. And I went to put my arm around him and to try to pray with him. And he started speaking in other tongues, just like that. And, oh, man, this was a breath of fresh air for me. I jumped up and told him, "Holy Ghost." So it was interesting because Jaromir got submerged into it. He came to me and said, Pastor, is there anything I can do? Is there anything? We had some guests coming and I couldn't go to the airport. I said, here's the keys to my car. She's for Christ car. It's back when we could do that. And I said, here's the keys to my car. I said, will you go to the airport and pick up these people? And man, he couldn't believe it. I'll get to drive the missionary's car. And he just did anything I wanted him to do, he would do it. Contrary to Martin. Now, see, Martin, I was at my home. I don't know if I told you this the other day when in the question time, but I got this telephone call, and Martin on the other end of the phone, he said, do you baptize in Jesus' name? I'm Martin Pavioka. Are you Roger Bogdan? I said, yes. And so it was an interesting story, and I met him downtown, and we drove about an hour and 45 minutes up to his house so I could ask his parents, he was only 15 or 16, if I could baptize him in Jesus' name. And when I got to his home, he had 17 young people sitting in a circle. He said, tell them what happened to me. And so I began to talk to them, and he began to translate for me. But Martin never did get totally involved. He was always like this. He was either on fire or out of fire. I mean, he really was. He was something. And even today, he's not serving God. I want to tell you, the difference is getting to Siloam. The difference is putting your hand in the sending. When that man went to Siloam, Jesus said, go wash in that pool. In other words, submerge yourself. Get all involved in the scent. And if you can get involved in scent, you will have vision. Amen. And here we are at IBC today. I want to tell you something. You can either muddle your way through school or you can get involved in the mission. And if you get involved in the mission, you'll have vision. You will have vision. Amen. Amen. I was pastoring in Ohio, and Ron came in the church. God bless him, big old brute of a guy. He was a bouncer in a bar, and I'll tell you what. When I left for the mission field from there, he came to me, and he gave me something. He said, I want you to take this. I said, what? He said, it's a gun. He said, I want you to put that in your motorhome. I don't want anybody to bother you. I put it in the motorhome, forgot about it, sold the motorhome. I don't know whatever happened to that gun. But this was the kind of guy Ron was. But Ron had a hard time about this thing. He would come and he would have questions about everything. I mean, it got to where Ron became a pest. I would be driving down the street and he'd be sitting on my front porch. And I'd keep going. I mean, I would drive down the alley and try to peek around. It's terrible. But that's how Ron was. He just pestered me to death. But finally, one day we was having a man's prayer meeting in the morning, and Ron was battling with cigarettes. He never could give those things up. And I'll never forget, the door opened. I was down at the altar. The door opened, in walks Juan. Walks Ron. And that's a foreign word. And so he came in, and I heard him in there praying. And I heard him. He was really wrestling with God, and I was over there praying, and then I heard him. He slammed the altar. He got up and stomped out. I said, oh, God, here he goes again. I said, that's probably the last I'll see of Ron. And in about 10 or 15 minutes, the door opens in the back. I hear that I'm up there praying, and here comes Ron walking back down. He takes out of his pocket cigarettes. He throws them on the altar. There, God, you can have them. He went on to become our Sunday school teacher. Something about getting your hand in the water. It's something about touching the scent part. Hey, there's something about getting involved in the mission. If you can get involved in the mission, you can walk with God because you have vision. You get a greater glimpse. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than you, a greater glimpse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to stop in just a moment. But I was on deputation several years ago, one of the myriad of deputations. I was in Illinois, and I remember this is back when I was really with it. I'd get up at 5 and go running, you know. I don't do that now. But I went out and went for my 3-mile run, and what I did, I would always get the key from the pastor, and then I'd do my 3-mile run, then I'd go in for my devotions. I reversed it now. I'll do my devotions first and never do get to the running. we walk now. So anyhow, I remember going in praying that morning, and God dropped something into my heart that has really done a lot for me. You remember the story of Thomas, and I was praying about that morning, and the Lord spoke to me, and so I did a little study about the hand. You know, when I was growing up, I always pictured that when Jesus was crucified, they put the nails in the hand, you know, right here. As a matter of fact, even doctorologists make you think that, you know, the doctorologists, that's the people that talk with their hands. Okay, doctorology. I just wanted to say that. Anyhow, because the sign for Jesus is this, okay? It says, I love you, Jesus. See, right there. And so I always thought the nail prints were right there in the palm of the hand, but that's not where they were, because if they'd have hung Jesus on the cross there, he just slid right out of it because there's not enough to hold the body. But the nail prints, actually, there's two bones in your arm, and the hand, when I looked it up, the hand goes from the tip of your longest finger to your wrist, and that's considered your hand. And so when I was doing the study, and there's two bones in your arm called the radius and the ulna, and they kind of merge together and they meld together right here at the wrist. And so where they merge together, it becomes a very strong place. So when they crucified our Lord, they put the nail prints right here. And it was like a hanger. So you were hanging on the cross. So if you'll remember the story of Thomas coming in, or Jesus appearing, and Thomas is there, the second appearance. And Jesus said, "Reach hither your finger and behold my hand." Some of you remember that, what he said. So what I wanted to do today is I want you to let one of your hands be Jesus' hand and your other hand to be Thomas's hand. And I want you to do what Jesus asked Thomas to do. He said, "Okay, now try it with me. Reach hither your finger and behold my hand." You notice anything? Would anybody notice anything? The pulse. Is it possible that Jesus could have been saying, "Thomas, I want you to feel my pulse"? Now, today, what if you and I, in this missions meeting, could reach out and feel the pulse of Jesus? What would that be? If I could feel the pulse of Jesus. Now, if that wasn't good enough, Jesus said, if that doesn't satisfy you, Thomas, he said, take your hand, thrust it into my side. Now, when Jesus was crucified and they pierced him on the cross, remember that? The Bible says that the man took the spear, and when they thrust it into his body, it went up under the rib cage, and the spear went till it pierced his heart, took the spear out, and came blood and water. You know that story. But what if Thomas had done what Jesus had asked him to do? You see, if he had thrust his hand, thrust it, he didn't say just place it, thrust it into my side. He would have thrust his hand all the way up through the cavity of our Lord until he could feel his heart or feel his heartbeat, because that's where the spear went. What if, in this mission's emphasis, we could feel the heartbeat of our Lord? What would that be? I'll tell you what it would be. It'd be a greater glimpse. Because Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which is lost." Amen. So today, have I been born again blind? There is a remedy. There is a remedy. Feel his pulse, touch his heart, or go wash in the pool of Siloam. Get involved. I was so blessed during this auction. I was. You know why? I know somebody paid $70 for a tie. You didn't pay $70 for a tie. You paid $70 to send missions. Hello? You invested in the mission. I'm talking about getting involved in the mission, putting your hand in the mission. If I can put my hand in the mission, if I can wash in Siloam, I will have vision. And if I have vision, I can do what God wants me to do. Stand with me, will you? Hallelujah. Oh, just a couple of little musings this morning that I've found in the Bible that's helped me. And I wanted to help you today. I feel the Holy Ghost. Would you close your eyes with me? We need a greater glimpse, God. We need a greater glimpse. to have my eyes open. I need to get involved in the scent. Somehow, would you cement your word and your spirit within us this day? So I can be everything you want me to be. I think it's all right if you want to just slip your hand up and talk to God a little bit. I think it's all right. But I beseech God, but I really do want to be involved in a greater vision, in a greater glimpse. Put your hand in the pool. Put your hand in the pool. Splash it upon you a little bit. Splash the water upon you. Get some vision. Hallelujah.
The Indiana Bible College Distant Learning Program is ready for you to enroll. Whether you're a minister, a congregation member, or just interested in learning more about the Bible, go check out www.ibcdl.com. There, you'll find out more information about continuing studies, earning an Associate of Arts in Biblical Studies, an additional Bachelor of Arts in Biblical Studies, degree completion, concurrent studies, and earning certificates. Indiana Bible College is committed to training tomorrow's apostolic leaders today, and the Distant Learning Program makes this training accessible to anyone, anywhere. Again, for more information, visit www.ibcdl.com.